review. In studying the Bible, remember there are three steps. There's observation, which says or asks the question, what does the Bible say? And so that's the first step in Bible study. When we are studying the Bible, we have to ask, what does the Bible say? And that's where we ask those six questions. The five W's, who, what, when, where. And then you got how, who, what, when, where, why, how. And so those are part of the observation. And then interpretation is the second step. After we've observed what the Bible says, then we want to ask, what does the Bible mean? And we spent about three Wednesday nights looking at principles of Bible interpretation. Tonight, we're going to look at application. Application. Now, all three steps are very important. However, I want to just say this. Application is bringing the Bible to life. It's bringing the Bible to life. It's where the rubber meets the road. You probably heard that. You know, we can do a great job in observation and interpretation, learning of some of the great timeless truths of the Bible, but what good does it do if we don't apply it to our lives? And so let's stop and think about that. You know, this is a very, very important step to learn, because after we've gone through observation and interpretation, now is the step of application. And I want to just share some differences between interpretation and application before we read in James chapter 1. And interpretation focuses on meaning, whereas application focuses on action. It's action. Interpretation involves a singular meaning, whereas application involves multiple actions. I don't know if you remember, but when we were talking about interpretation, there's only one interpretation. Every single passage in the Bible, there's just one. There's not many. There's one. There's one intended meaning given by the author. And however, there can be many applications. Many applications. We'll look at some examples later. Interpretation is the same for all Christians, but application is different for specific life situations. So there again, we're stressing that one interpretation, many applications. Interpretation involves getting into the Word. Application involves the Word getting into us. The Word getting into us. Interpretation asks, what does the text mean? Application asks, what does this meaning, or how does this meaning apply to my life? And so that's kind of give you the difference between the step of interpretation and application. So let's read in James 1, 21 through verse 25. The Bible says, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So James, he points out that we are to receive the Word of God. We're to hear it. We're to receive it. And if we do, he says, it's able to save our souls. Receiving has the idea of believing the Word of God, believing and receiving it. But we don't stop there. You don't stop with just believing it. You know, many people say, I believe the Bible. You know, I believe what the Bible says about Jesus Christ. But it doesn't stop there. We are to be doers of the word. James said, but be doers of the word and not hearers only. So we're not just to hear the word of God. We're not just to believe the word of God. We're not just to receive the word of God. But we're to be doers of the word of God. And so that's application. Application. Now, we're going to ask the question tonight, what are some reasons that keep us from applying the Scripture to our lives? This is our first question tonight under application. What are some reasons that keep us from applying the Scripture to our lives? I want to give you four reasons. The first one is not understanding the passage well. Not understanding the passage well. Sometimes we don't apply because we don't understand it. You know, that means we need to do steps one and two first. We need to do observation. We need to do interpretation so that we can do application. So not understanding the passage well would be one reason. Another reason would be not taking the time to see how it connects to our lives. Not taking the time. Maybe because we're lazy. Maybe it's because we're too tired. Maybe we're just distracted. Like Brother Robert was preaching Sunday night. You know, we need to be still. Take some time to be quiet and be still. Meditate on the Scripture. You have to take time. And so sometimes we're not applying the Bible because we're not taking the time to see how it connects with our daily lives. A third reason would be unwillingness to deal with sin in our lives. Unwillingness to deal with sin in our lives. You know, sometimes we look to the Bible for affirmation rather than transformation. You know, James told us there in verse 21, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. He talks about sin. We need to lay it aside and receive the engrafted word with meekness. And so we have to be willing to deal with the sin in our lives. And, you know, because when we read the Bible, we're going to come across some truth that's going to convict us of sin in our lives. And so many times we don't apply it because we're unwilling to deal with it. And the fourth one is we're not honest with ourselves. And we fail to see what we are really like. We're just not honest. You know, sometimes that's why we should study the Bible with others at times. I mean, yes, there's a time for personal Bible study, but also study with others because, you know, sometimes others can see things in our lives that we can't see. You know, sin will blind us to, you know, where we don't see our sin. We're just not honest with our sin. We fail to see what we're really like. We think, well, I'm okay. I'm pretty good. I'm doing all right. But I want you to notice what he says here in James verse 23 of this chapter 1. If any be a hearer of the word, not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Now, a glass is an old English reference to a mirror. That's what he's talking about here, looking in a mirror. And so he's making a comparison here. Remember, we talked about interpretation, the different kinds of how they make some comparisons and contrasts. Well, here's a comparison. He's saying that a man that is a hearer of the word and not a doer is like a man that's beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. So what he's saying is like looking at your face in the mirror and seeing something, but not taking care of it and walking away and forgetting. Has that ever happened to you? Like you look in the mirror and think, oh, I need to shave this morning, or I need to brush my teeth, I need to comb my hair, but you walk away and you forget about it. You go to town and then you see yourself in the glass as you're walking in that front door. You're like, oh my goodness, my hair's standing straight up. You know, that's what he's talking about here. It's like if you hear the word of God, but you don't do it, he's comparing you to that type of person. Because when we hear it, it's like a mirror. The word of God's like a mirror. We see our sin. And it's to help us and transform us. And so sometimes we're just not honest. We fail to see ourselves for who we really are. Now, let's go to the second main point. What are some guidelines for applying the scripture to our lives? What are some guidelines for applying the scriptures to our lives? The first is prayerful meditation on the passage of scripture that we're studying. Prayerful meditation. You know, this goes back to what we talked about before we got into observation. We talked about some things that we needed in our life before we approach the study of the Bible, one of them being prayer. When we come to the Bible, before we begin our study, we should be praying. And it also includes while we're studying, it also includes when we're saying, okay, God, how does this apply to me? Prayerful meditation. I want you to look at some scriptures. Look in the first Psalm. This is a very familiar Psalm. In Psalm 1, he tells us, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But notice verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. So it talks about a meditation in the Word of God day and night. This is something that a lot of modern-day Christians don't practice. Let's stop and think about it. We don't practice it. I mean, we may read the Bible, but do you practice meditation? Meditation is when we think over it. We take time to just think about the scripture that we read day and night. I mean, it's like throughout the day, throughout the night, we're thinking and meditating on those scriptures. And sometimes when we are seeking to look for the application in the scripture, we need to do some prayerful meditation. You know, sometimes in the morning, it may be if you have kids, your kids have been screaming and all morning, and you're trying to do your Bible study, or maybe you didn't get much sleep that night, and it makes it difficult. Sometimes life happens. But in a normal day, we need to plan to at least have enough time in God's Word to meditate on it, to think about it. How does this apply to me? You know, sometimes it could be while you're lying in bed waiting to go to sleep, meditating on scripture. There's times that sometimes I'll wake up in the middle of the night and I'll start thinking about a scripture. And in fact, this last week before the funeral we had on Monday, I didn't know what I was going to preach. And for some reason, I went to bed with it heavy on my heart. And I woke up about 2 in the morning. And I was kind of in and out of sleep, going in and out. But I do remember a scripture in 1 Thessalonians 4:13 that just came to my mind. Now, how did that happen? Well, the Lord, of course, but let me say that it happened because that scripture I had memorized. That scripture I had studied, not any time in recent time, but it's just, I had studied that passage, and that was something the Lord was just going over in my mind, where it says that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. That phrase just kept going over and over in my mind. And I even began to, in my sleep and being partially awake, was developing some sermon thoughts for that funeral. The next morning I got up and I was studying for Sunday or something. Sunday message. And And after a couple of hours into that study, I was thinking, what was that last night? It just dawned on me. What was it that I was thinking of last night about the funeral message? And it took me about 15 minutes just for it all to come back. But once I remembered it, I started writing down the thoughts. I started meditating on it. And the Lord began to give some application. And so we really need to take time to do that. Take time, like we heard Sunday night, be still. And know that He is God. Take some time to do that. Prayerful meditation. Second thing, identify the timeless truths. Timeless truths. What do we mean by this? What do we mean by timeless truths? Three things. One, truths that apply to all people of all times. Because remember when we were talking about interpretation, not all the Scripture is addressed to us, but all the Scripture is for us. It was written for our admonition and our learning. Even the Old Testament that was written to the nation of Israel, to those under the Old Covenant, under the law, it was written to them, it was addressed to them, it's still for us. There are some principles the Old Testament that are for us. We can draw out some timeless truths that transcend time, that transcend the Old Testament and the law, that apply in all times to all people, not just to the Jewish people. So you got to look for those truths. Second, truths that are eternal. Timeless truths are truths that are eternal. And thirdly, truths that are cross-cultural. They cross cultural boundaries. And, you know, like I'm saying, it's not just for Israel, not just for the Jew, but it crosses to all cultures. It's for all people. You know, an example would be, remember in Matthew 22, verse 36 through 40, it talks about how that lawyer was asking Jesus, what's the greatest commandment in the law? Now, I want you to know that the question he's asking is referring back to the Old Testament law. He's saying, what is the greatest commandment of the law? And so Jesus said, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy mind and with all thy soul. He said, that's the first and greatest commandment. And he said, the second is like unto it, to love thy neighbor as thyself. And so you think about it, he is talking about Old Testament law that was given to the nation of Israel, to the Jewish people in Exodus chapter 20. But I want to tell you something. These two great commandments of the law are timeless truths. They're timeless. Why is that? Because in the New Testament, they're repeated. Not just in Matthew, but in the epistles. The Bible teaches us to love God. We're to love the Lord our God. It's something that's continually taught, not just to the Jewish people, but to all people. To love our neighbors, ourselves. That is a timeless principle. That's taught. I mean, if we had time, we could stop and go to 1 John and look and talks about if we really love God, then we're going to love our brothers. We're going to love the brethren. And he said, this is how we know that we know God, because we love the brethren. This is how that we know that we're saved. We love the brethren. So he talks about loving brethren and loving our neighbor. Those are timeless truths. Even though they originally were given in the law of Moses, they transcend that. You know, there are some truths, though, we could look at in the Old Testament law, for example. It talks about, well, okay, on the Passover, we need every man go out and get a lamb without spot, without blemish, and you're to hold it for 4 days and watch it. And on the 14th day of the first month, the Jewish month of Nisan, you are to sacrifice that lamb. You're to take that blood and put it on the doorpost. Well, that was specifically addressed to the Jewish people. But we can still look at that Passover, and we can still see timeless truth, can we not? Because Paul in the New Testament says Jesus is our Passover. He is our Passover lamb. And so there's a truth that back there, you know, we don't observe the Passover today like the Jews did back then. We don't take a lamb today. We don't have this Passover feast. But we still have truth that we can pull from that timeless truth and apply it today. So identify the timeless truths. Let's look at C. Write down what God reveals to you. This is another guideline. When you're looking for how to apply the Bible to your personal life, write down what God reveals to you. You know, for many of us, we think better when we write. I don't know about you, but I think better when I start writing. It's like my thoughts start coming together as I'm writing. And, you know, we should take time to write down the things that God shows us so that we can remember those things. We can go back to those things time and time and time again. Now, in 3 weeks, when we do take a passage and go through all these principles of observation, interpretation, application, I'm going to create a little form that you can use and copy to go through all of these steps. And so if we could do that and practice that and write these things down and keep these, we can go back to them in time to come. We can help us to remember when we write these things down. And I will tell you from personal experience, when I don't write anything down, I don't really get into Bible study. I just read. I might read it and, you know, and I'll look at this and that and read and pray. But if I get a pen and paper, it's like it encourages me to start asking questions. It encourages me to start saying, okay, what does this mean? What is he saying here? How does this apply to me? God, what is it that you want me to put or apply in my life? So writing those things down really helps. The next one is talk with someone else about your study in the Word of God. We should discuss the Word of God with our spouse, with our children, with our Christian friends. As you're studying the Bible, when you get around your friends, ask them. You know, when we come to church, that'd be a good time to do it. You know why? Because it would exhort one another. Say, hey, I want to share with what I studied in the Bible this past week. I was studying John chapter 3 and Nicodemus and Jesus, and this is what God showed me, and this is how it applies to me. What do you think about that passage? And that's how we can encourage one another. With our spouse. Talk about it with your spouse, with your kids. Invite them to help you apply God's Word in your life. Because, you know, as we share these things, we can help encourage each other to apply these truths. The last one is listen. Listen to what others have said about the passage you are studying. After you've spent time on your own doing observation, interpretation, application, then, only then, you can start listening or what others are saying. And I'm talking about doctrinally sound pastors and teachers. And you can listen to sermons. You can read books written by godly men. We had Brother Locke come the last 2 years, had some of his books, and that's an example. You can take books like that, read those books, read what other men may say. There's some good commentaries out there you can read, but I will say that they are men writing, okay? It's not the Word of God. But you can learn from other men of God if you listen to what they say. When you come to church, you're hearing your pastor preach, or you come to Sunday school, you're hearing your teacher teach about the Word of God. So listening to others, what they say, can help us apply the Word of God, because we know, hey, yes, that's what the Bible says. This is what I need to do. I need to make these changes in my life. Now, we're going to turn to the third question. What are some questions to ask in applying the Scriptures to our lives? What are some questions to ask in applying the Scriptures to our lives? And so this is getting down to the nitty-gritty of application. And the first question, there's five questions here. First one, who should I be? So as you're reading through these, you've come to the interpretation of the passage. You're looking at this. You're doing some prayerful meditation on it. You're looking for the timeless truths there. And you're writing some of these things down. You're asking, who should I be? What is God teaching me about who I should be? You know, any application is really dependent on Christ being in us. Us being in Christ. Being saved. We talked about that in one of the first lessons and how to study the Bible. But who should I be? Because you know what? The world wants us to be something. Our friends want us to be something. And sometimes we follow what others want us to be instead of what God wants us to be. So who should I be? You know, in this passage we read in James, for example, who should I be? Well, I should be someone that is a doer of the word. Someone who is not just one that hears the word, not just one that knows the Bible but doesn't do anything about it. I should be an obedient Christian. That's who I should be. Someone who does the work, practices the word of God. The second question, how should I think? How should I think? You know, how we think is important. We are bombarded with messages every day, TV, radio, Facebook, internet, all these different things. We are bombarded with things that cause us to think. And oftentimes our thinking is influenced by the things that we are listening to, the things that we are reading. And more importantly than anything else, we ought to be reading the Bible. And you know, the Bible, somebody once said this, and I never forgotten. They said that, you know, we need to be brainwashed. And in the right way. When we read the Bible, it cleanses us. It cleanses our brains, if you would. It cleanses our minds. Because we get all this stuff from the world. We get all these thoughts in our head from the world. We come to the Bible. The Bible cleanses us. I mean, it washes us. It helps us to see things as they really are. It helps us to see eternal truth. You know, it talks about in Romans 12, the renewing of your mind in verse 2, Romans 12, 2. You know, it talks about renewing our mind. And so we're asking this question, how should I think? How should I think? You know, because the Bible teaches us what we should think. And then the third question, what should I do? What should I do? This gets into the action part of application. We're asking, what should I do? Passage in James we read, well, we should lay apart all filthiness, superfluity of naughtiness. We should lay apart sin out of our lives, like you would laying apart a dirty garment, laying it apart, receiving the word of God, being a doer of the word. There are some questions you see here I've given that we can ask under this question, what should I do? Is there a sin to avoid? Is there a verse to memorize? Is there a promise to claim? Is there a condition to meet? Is there a command to obey? Is there a challenge to face? Is there a prayer to pray? You know, those are some good questions we can ask as we're looking for application. We ask some of these questions. Is there some things here in this scripture that I've been studying that points out some sin in my life that I need to avoid or confess? Is there any commands here that I need to follow, some things I need to do? The fourth question we can ask and apply in the scripture is, where should I go? where should I go? And I want to say that application should be understood in light of our mission as a church and as a Christian. What is our mission? To make disciples. Mature disciples. To mobilize them in all the world. That is our mission. And so as we are studying the Bible, we need to be looking at application in where should I go? Should I go help this new Christian grow in the Lord? Should I go help this neighbor know the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior? Where should I go? The last question is, who will I teach? Who will I teach? You know, the best way we can learn is teaching. We learn by teaching, giving it away. You know, that's what disciple making is all about. Teaching others. Teaching others. And so that's part of the application. As we're studying the Bible, we ask these questions. Where should I go? Who should I teach? We should make personal application of the Word of God. And you know, this series on how to study the Bible is so important to our theme for this year as a church. Here am I. Where do I grow from here? How are you going to grow spiritually? How are you going to grow as a Christian? Study the Bible. Study the Bible. Get in the Word of God. Make application in your life and how you should be, who you should be, how you should think, what you should do, where you should go, who you should teach. You know, those are very, very practical ways that we can grow in our Christian life. And I believe that if we as God's people would just get in the Word of God and study it and start applying these principles of observation, interpretation, application, it could make a huge, huge difference in our lives, in our church. It really could. But the reason why a lot of churches are dying is because they don't have the Word of God. They don't apply the Word of God. They're not meditating in the Scriptures. And so I hope this will challenge you and help you in the study of the Word of God. And as I said, in a couple of weeks, or in 3 weeks, we're going to take a passage of Scripture, and I'm going to try to give you a head start on that so you can kind of read on it. I want to go ahead and give it to you tonight, and then we'll put it in the bulletin later so you can. But in 3 weeks, 3 Wednesday nights, God willing, we're going to look at Philippians. We took a little look at this a few weeks ago, but Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 through 16. Philippians 2, 12 through 16. That's the passage we're going to look at in 3 weeks. And so we're going to do some observation. We're going to ask those questions. We're going to do some interpretation. And then we're going to do some application. So we're going to go through all these steps together so that everyone can see how it's done. And also, I'm going to try to bring some books that would help you, like dictionaries and different study tools that can help you, resources to help you in your Bible study.